The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At daybreak on the first day of the week, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and to all the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles, but their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, and saw the burial cloths alone. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Why is this night different from every other night? Because once we were slaves and are no longer. If you were here for Good Friday yesterday, you will recognize that we are beginning tonight where we started and ended yesterday. We were slaves in sin, but no longer. And the fact that you have come back and not fled from the cross or denied your sinfulness speaks to the recognition you have about yourself. That there is darkness within you. And that because of the sin that you inherited, an original sin, and because of the sins that you have committed, you have been sold into slavery. To one who is the accuser of our brothers and a murderer from the beginning. And we cannot free ourselves. He enslaves us and uses us and in the end will murder and discard us. And we felt that weight in its full force yesterday. But the fact that you are here tonight, the fact that you gathered in the darkness tonight, in the darkness of yourself, in the darkness of this world, speaks to the fact that you still have hope. And you desire to experience that hope anew. So we gather in the darkness, as the Israelites gathered in the darkness of Egypt, slaves unable to free themselves, but hoping that God would come. And you, in the midst of your sinfulness, in darkness, gathered in the dark of this night, hoping that God could find beauty in the brutality, that God could look at where sin abounds and make grace abound the more, that a God who took on our human nature not to taste the pleasures of this earth, but its horrors, might transform even suffering itself. You came here tonight in the hope that the resurrection in Easter is not merely a happy ending to an otherwise tragic story, but that it's more than that, that it's the story of a new beginning for you and for me and for this world. And so we gathered in darkness, trusting what St. Paul said, that it will be true of us. Of one thing I know for certain, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of which I am the foremost. So we gathered in the darkness that's within each of us and within our world, hoping that we would see God's light. And we did. He came for us. It's the same light that the Book of Wisdom says showed up at that first Passover when God's all-powerful word leapt down from his throne in heaven to enter into the doomed land. That he who appeared with a sword to set the world alight with God's unbreakable promise, with one hand in heaven while still being on earth, would act to free us again tonight, and for many of you in baptism for the first time. So we gathered in darkness and saw his light, in the same God who led the slaves out of Egypt, following his presence, manifest as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. We too follow those out of the darkness into the light. The pillar of cloud, the thurible, which led you out from the darkness. The pillar of fire, represented in our candle. And who was immediately behind the pillars? That God led the way. In the Exodus, it was Moses who stood in the breach between God and man. And where God led, he brought his people with him. And tonight he did that in the person of Jesus Christ, made present in his priest and our pastor, Father Hahn. As Jesus leading us out of the darkness into the light of the church. And you came in here with the recognition that you cannot illumine yourself, but that you are called to be a saint among the saints, because zeal and fire for God cannot be taught, it must be caught. And you need kindled by those around you. So we came into this church in the darkness with a great hope burning within us and among us. In a few short moments, another procession will occur. The pillar of fire and the priest standing in the person of Jesus in the breach will lead those to be baptized to the font as the Israelites were led to the edge of the Red Sea. And it will part and be opened, and your sins will be washed away. Your original sin, any sin that you have committed up to this point in your life, and all of the punishment due for your sins. And God's presence will come upon you, and we shortly will call you children of God, for so indeed you will be. And just as Pharaoh's army, the same Pharaoh who demanded that the children of the Israelites be drowned in the Nile, then watched his army be drowned in the Red Sea, so too whatever sins have chased you, whatever lies have chased you, whatever wounds have chased you, will be washed away in that font, and you will rise to new life. So for our brothers and sisters about to be baptized, and for those of us who will renew our baptism, do not teach your sins to swim. Do not teach the lies you believe to swim. Leave them dead on the bottom of the baptismal font as the oppressors of Egypt laid sunk at the bottom of the Red Sea. And then you will come forward again, our elect, newly baptized children of God, and those who are candidates for full communion in the church, and you will receive your confirmation. In baptism, God gives you everything you need to be his child. In confirmation, he strengthens you for mission. Your life is no longer your own. Your faith will no longer be your own. You will help God take his people back. Because when they enter into the promised land, they still have to fight. And in our life of faith, you still have to fight, because there's a lot that will pull you away. There is a lot that will pull God's people away. And you will have to fight. And that's symbolized by the oil, which will be put on your head. In ancient times, if you were going to fight, if you were going to wrestle, and today if you're in WWE wrestling, you put oil on your body to make you hard to grab, hard to hold down, hard to defeat. It will be marked on your head as a sign that you will now fight for God and fight for His people. And it reminds me of a poem, true of life generally, but also the Christian life. Because while this is a joyous night, it's only the story of a new beginning. So don't think life plain sailing. There's danger of failing, though bright the future may seem to be. But honor and labor and truth to your neighbor will bear you safe across life's sea. So up and be doing, the right only pursuing, and take your fair part in the strife. Both now and forever, be this your endeavor, when wrong with the right is at strife. We look within ourselves and our world, and wrong with the right is at strife, and you are about to take your place in being a rescued person who rescues people through your confirmation. But finally, if this is the new Passover, the Passover was not completed without the blood of the Lamb. It was not completed without it marking the doorpost, but also the people consuming it, by which the angel of death will pass over them. So for all of us who will receive communion, and those who will receive it for the first time, the doorpost of your body, the doorpost of your lips are about to be marked with the blood of the Lamb, sacrificed once and for all to set you free. And the angel of death will pass over you if you stay faithful. Because what do you receive in the Eucharist? The very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ as He is at this moment at the right hand of God the Father. You will receive His resurrected and glorified body into your body as the pattern of what you will already taste in this life and one day become in the resurrection when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. So brothers and sisters about to be received into the church, for you this is not a happy ending. It's the story of a new beginning. Why is this night different from every other night? Because once we were slaves and are no longer slaves.